people here, and what's happening in the country at the moment?
Well, I'm here because we're all facing a massive catastrophe, the whole population of the world. And my particular concern is that Britain, amongst all the countries in the world, is a particular responsibility because of the role of British multinational corporations. If you look at the top 20 companies in Britain, four of them are mining corporations and three of them are big oil and gas corporations. So in a sense, people of conscience who want to do something about climate change have to also see what our own corporations, or rather corporations based in our country, are doing. I'm just back from Colombia, and I was with a group of us, and some people are still there. They're traveling around the country. What I did is I went to visit indigenous people in the Sierra Nevada, which is in the north of Colombia, and then I went from there to visit a massive open cast coal mine in La Guajira region, also in the north of Colombia, and then went to the capital, Bogota. And they held a series of public hearings over the last 2 years because there is no justice within the Colombian state system itself in terms of trying to control the impact of multinationals and their exploitation, either of the environment or of the local people. And so social movements themselves have organized for public hearings to draw attention to the multinationals in Colombia. And the first one that we attended was on the impact on indigenous peoples, and about 500 indigenous peoples met together in the Sierra Maestra, and it was a wonderful event. There are about 90 different indigenous groups in Colombia, and 18 of them are facing extinction because of the impacts on their way of life. As massive incursion of natural resource seeking multinational corporations into the Andean region and into the Amazon part of Colombia. And in particular in the south of Colombia, which is the Amazonian region, there's a massive impact now of driving out indigenous peoples from their traditional way of life. Secondly, as I mentioned, I went to La Guajira, which is a big coal mine. And this coal mine is owned by three corporations, two of which are ex-South African corporations now based in London. One is called BHP Billiton, the other is Anglo-American. And they make enormous profits. They have got a dedicated railway which is shunting out hundreds of carriage loads of coal. But again, there's massive social and environmental impacts. We interviewed African descendant people who have been forced off their land. We interviewed indigenous people from the Wayuu who live in an area which is completely surrounded and controlled by the mine, and they're very, very demoralized in a very difficult situation. And so we're supporting them and drawing attention to the other side. I mean, people talk about clean coal, but I mean, it's very dirty coal in the sense of the massive ecological impacts and the social impacts in bringing the coal out of Colombia, for sure. And this coal makes enormous profits for the corporations concerned. It costs something like about £23 a ton to produce, and they're selling it on the world markets for about £100 a ton at the moment. And very, very little of that, a mere trickle of that, gets back to the people whose natural resources they actually are. And then the final port of call was in Bogota, as I mentioned, where it's a culmination of about a three-year program where they've been looking at the impacts of multinationals in terms of their public services, in terms of mining, as I mentioned, in terms of biodiversity and oil. And all these results were brought together. And the people in Colombia are really fighting two allies who work closely to support each other as their enemy. One is the Colombian government, which really invites foreign multinational investment as their concept of development relies on this, and then the multinationals themselves. And what we really think as a campaign is that we need to make a people's alliance between us, who are against the impacts of the multinationals and climate change here in Britain, and the social movements of Colombia and the rest of the Andean region. So in summary, it's a great, great event. This, I've already seen how wonderful and how self-organized and how motivated the people are here. And in many ways, it's very similar to being with the social movements in Latin America. It's the same spirit of daily resistance, the same spirit of making to want a change for the better now.
Great. Fidel, do you want to answer the question and report back?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. I came here to learn a lot about the environmental fight and struggle that you do in England. And I came to share as well my experiences and to share with you what's happening in Ecuador. Listening to Andy, a lot of similarities are between Colombia and Ecuador until now. I mean, the biodiversity of the countries in the Andean regions is one of the highest biodiversity in the world, but also the interests of multinationals for the natural resources of the region is very, very high. And right now, the situation, the political situation in Colombia and in Ecuador is completely different. And I think that makes very interesting that Andy and me have the opportunity to talk together to make some kind of comparison of what are the alternatives for the developing countries to avoid the deforestation, the devastation that are being that are suffering for years and years and years and decades. Ecuador right now is going through a very deep structural change. We are just rewritten a new constitution that's going to be on the referendum in about a month and a half. And from the environmental point of view, it's very, very revolutionary and interesting constitution in Ecuador. Just to give some examples, it's the very first constitution in the world that is recognizing the rights to the nature as itself. In the Andean cosmovision, the Pachamama, which is translated as the Mother Earth, yeah, is something that lives, yeah, has a life, and that's why Ecuadorians have decided to give rights to the Pachamama, to the nature. So, if the constitution is approved, any citizen in Ecuador will have the right to sue any company or any individual that is attempting against nature, against the national nature reserves, etc. The constitution in Ecuador is forbidding the privatization of natural resources, the privatization of water, the privatization of oil, the privatization of mining. Yep. So in that case, is a very interesting case. And in Ecuador, during the last decades, there is a very strong environmental movement that luckily is being part of these new initiatives with the current government. I will share with you here in the campament a very unique initiative that is being launched by Ecuador, backed by the Ecuadorian government, which is also a civil society initiative, which is basically how to aims to keep the major oil reserves of Ecuador, and Ecuador is an oil dependent country, underground. Yeah, looking for some compensation from the international community, basically saying the North has an environmental debt with the South, and we are making a sacrifice not to have the revenues that we should have for the oil exploitation, in order to keep the biodiversity, in order to keep not only the major reserves, oil reserves of Ecuador, but in order to keep and touch one of the major biodiverse places on Earth, where some indigenous communities are also on the verge of extinction. So there are a few very interesting initiatives that I would like to share with you all here. And as I said, also I'm coming here to learn from you. Mm. because you are doing an admirable work.
Can I just ask how this came about, do you think, in your country? I mean, for instance, the changes in other countries in Latin America, like Venezuela and Bolivia, they're very much social driven, obviously, like socialism, right? But how has that expanded into environmentalism in Ecuador?
Well, Ecuador is trying to go out from a complete collapse, politically collapse, economical collapse, but I can say also environmental collapse. Being one of the most biodiverse countries in the world has also the highest deforestation rate in South America. And in Ecuador took place, for example, an environmental catastrophe by Chevron Texaco Oil Company, which is considered by experts to be probably the biggest environmental catastrophe next to Chernobyl. If you heard about Exxon Valdez a few years ago, this is 30 times bigger. That happened during 28 years. Nobody knows much about it because it happened in the jungle. Nobody knows much about it because the oil companies had the support from the previous government. But right now, for example, the communities affected by this catastrophe are suing the company Chevron Texaco in something which is known as the sue of the history, because Chevron Texaco is will have to pay something like $16 billion to the communities. That is 30,000 people, indigenous people and communities that organize and are suing and it's also the first lawsuit that is taking place in a developing country that will force a multinationals to respond to our justice. And that was directed by the US Supreme Court, that they have to respond to our laws. So after economical collapse, after political collapse, a very strong citizen movement came out with an alternative, saying we can't have the same economical model. We can't have the same model of exploitation of nature. We need different rules. We need to reform the country based on new rules. That's why we are rewriting the constitution. And as part of the movement are the traditional social movements in Ecuador, such as the indigenous movements, so are the environmental movement, and well, we won the elections. We won the referendum for the new constitution, and we are doing very well with these proposals.
Okay, I'm aware you have to rush off to go and do your workshop in a few minutes. So basically, I'd just like to give you a chance to give some last responses before you go. So Andy, would you like to add anything that you've to respond to what Fidel said?
Well, I think that the cosmovision and the experience and the moral as well as political impact of the indigenous movement in Ecuador is certainly something which is far greater than, say, in Venezuela, although I think Venezuela has got a very progressive policy now towards indigenous peoples. In Ecuador, I think the indigenous movement is sort of central to everything, and you very much get that as well in Bolivia. And I think that is the connecting link that you're sort of looking for, because in a sense, indigenous people as a guardian of nature and, if you like, acting as a representative of rights of nature in society is something which we're beginning to see more in Colombia as well. It's a very interesting process, and it's quite contradictory, I have to say, as well, because the Colombian constitution on paper is quite progressive regards indigenous people, but on the other hand, if they get in the way of the multinationals, then they've got a problem as well. And so there's a real fight going on, and it's a great hope in Ecuador and also in Venezuela and Bolivia, I think, for the region and for the world. And so, you know, there's very good news coming out of the region, thankfully.
Fidel, anything else?
Well, basically inviting everybody to come and listen to the workshop, and recommending to join the camp is very exciting experience, and it's worth coming here and join the struggle for better world.